We have some exciting news for our listeners. This summer, 2025, we will be releasing our book, Confronting Evil in Our Time, unpacking the Screwtape Letters podcast inspired by C.S. Lewis. We are making signed first edition copies available for you leading up to the release. To secure your first edition signed copy, go to screwtapeletterspodcast.com and fill out the form to get your book. From Galen and I, we want to thank you for your support and Jesus Christ, who makes all things possible. God bless. So welcome back to the Screwtape Letters podcast, Confronting Evil in Our Time, Season 2, The Biblical Easter Eggs. And today, the episode is Letter 15, and we're looking at the biblical Easter eggs within here, and something that may actually surprise a lot of people about what we find. Galen, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Ian. That's a beautiful day out here in Pennsylvania, and another great day to dive into Screwtape Letters, going a little bit deeper beneath the surface.
So you actually found the Easter egg in this one, and I listened through again a couple of times just to get a grasp and look back at my notes, and I think you've hit this one spot on. So give us what you've got.
Yeah, sure. So obviously, we already went through the content of the letters in season one. So this letter talking a lot about getting your, you know, the demonic is trying to get us to either be overly fearful about the future so that we're living in fear and stress and anxiety, or overly complacent with it, almost foolishly naive about life. So there's a great chapter, you know, as you guys are listening through, a lot to hit again, but we don't want to cover a lot of the same material. We want to go a little bit deeper on a specific underlying theme, a doctrine, a passage of scripture. And I found something really interesting. A lot of times with these Easter eggs, we're trying to find like a little peculiar comment that almost C.S. Lewis seems to be just like passing through. And it's actually right in the very first sentence of this letter. He says, "My dear Wormwood, I had noticed, of course, that the humans were having a lull in their European war." And again, context here being World War II, obviously very devastating to Europe, specifically England. The little lull in their European war, what they naively call the war, he has an exclamation point. As if to almost make light of the fact that World War II is not really all that serious. Like, oh, ha, 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 these silly humans, they think that's the war. Let's keep them there in that naive state. And World War II is a pretty nasty war. But for the demonic to view it in that way, I think there's a little bit more underneath the surface.
So when we looked at this episode the first time around, I think there's something really beautiful in here that we covered, which is they talk about the past and gratitude exists in the past and how people worry about the future and the future isn't controlled, but people should live in the present. And then they talk about the idea of, you know, we exist in time and that actually gives us a different perspective, but eternity exists outside of time. And ultimately, our goal as Christians is salvation and to spend the rest of our existence in eternity, which exists outside of time. And because eternity is always has been and always will be, that's the concept of it. So it's an interesting headspace twist. And in the same way that that's the twist, the idea of looking at the battles, the evils, and even like you pointed out, Galen, World War II, compared with the war in Revelation, or the wars in Revelation, it obviously pales in comparison.
Right. Well, I think it's very important to realize. So I think there's actually a couple layers of wars and warfare that is part of the Christian life and probably even what C.S. Lewis is hinting at. You just mentioned the war in Revelation, really talking about the great last war, where if you read the book, we know how the book ends. But when Jesus comes back, he left as lamb, but he comes back as lion. You know, Jesus is coming back a warrior. He's coming back on a white horse with a sword and a tattoo on his thigh. I mean, he's coming back like Mel Gibson in Braveheart to end this thing. That's ultimately the war that Satan is afraid of. And it's the big culmination of human history. But even before then, you know, it's almost like you have to have some sort of view on what is this life that we live? What is this Christian walk? Is life a walk in the park? Is it a ride, you know, at an amusement park? Is it a jaunt? Is it a race? Or is it a war? And in some ways, it's all those things. But I think having a good realization about the fact that life, especially the Christian life, is one of continual warfare, and it is a daily battle. And that's not a bad thing. It's something to realize and embrace, that there are things, you know, we have to pick up our cross daily. There are things in the demonic realm that we're constantly fighting and constantly battling. That's why the Screwtape Letters, the backdrop, is really a high-ranking military demon advising a lower-ranking private demon, essentially. And really understanding the spiritual warfare behind the Christian life, I think, is crucial. And it's something the demonic would love us to not realize.
I actually think, Galen, since Genesis, we've been at war. And that war continues. And if people say, well, but it's not the same as people getting blown up, well, think about it, people. Think about the amount of times when alcoholism has destroyed someone, or perversions right. have destroyed someone, or someone who is possessed. Like, I saw a video the other day, Gail, and it was really, really disturbing. And it happened recently where the law enforcement had turned up at this home because someone had reported something that, I think it was a family member, reported that there was a dead body in one of the rooms. And they came back, and this 18, 19-year-old man walks towards the police, said, we need to talk to you. And he's like, why? And they said, because, you know, there's a dead body in you. And he's like, oh, yeah, I wanted to know what it was like to kill someone. And you looked at his eyes at that point in time, and like, that's part of the war. He is either demonically oppressed or demonically possessed to have a I want to know what it's like to kill someone.
I mean, the ways that we encounter evil, I mean, I think it's a great example of, like, that we are constantly fighting it in the seen realm, and we're fighting it in the unseen realm, you know. Right. And I love that you pointed out Genesis, because right in Genesis, there's an imagery. Sin enters into the world, which, first of all, you know, we were made to work. We were made to toil. We were made to work the land. And then because of the curse, now the land is fighting back. I think most guys can relate to this fact. Just working day in and day out throughout your life to provide for your wife and your children and your family, that in a sense is kind of a battle. It's like a daily battle to have to kind of, like, fight, even though we love it. You know, I love what I do. There's an element of that. And then even in Genesis also, there's an imagery of the serpent's head being crushed by the heel of Jesus, which is really an imagery for a battle that's going to take place. So right. I think you're right. Right from Genesis, we see the demonic realm, you know, infiltrating humanity, impacting humanity. And that needs to be resolved in the course of a lot of labor and fighting throughout our lives. And ultimately, in the end, when Jesus' heel crushes the serpent's head.
So if you think about our podcast as well, Confronting Evil in Our Time, and our book that's coming out this summer, Confronting Evil in Our Time, it addresses a lot of the points that are part of this warfare. And I think anyone, if you sit down for 5 minutes and look back on your life at tragedies, and you look back on people who have committed suicide or been killed, and you look at the events surrounding them, they're not just coincidences. Mm-hmm. A lot of the times it was strategic on the demonic side of things to infiltrate and destroy. And right. It's amazing being awoken to the fact that this stuff happens to be able to protect yourself and protect your family. Because it is a battle. This is the grand war that is going on. Right. And this is, I think, to your point, what the Easter egg in this episode is World War II lasted 4.5 years. This war has been going on since the beginning of time and Bingo. Will go on until the four wars that are referenced in Revelation.
Right.
And Yeah, it's a big deal that people, I think, especially Christians should be aware of this, is it isn't just love and peace. Jesus warns us about the demonic. The apostles and the disciples warn us about the demonic. God warns us about the demonic and the influence it has on us.
You know, and I want to point out, because you're mentioning the fact that the church and Christians really need to be aware of this. This is something that was part of like the common, call it like the common worldview consciousness of the church and Christians not that long ago. Even if you read some of the older hymns, Onward Christian Soldiers,
Marching
As to War, was a hymn we used to sing a lot. Stand Up for Jesus was another one. Ye Soldiers of the Cross. There was a lot of warfare imagery. A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, written by Martin Luther. A mighty fortress being a strong tower in a wartime context. And I remember there was a time years ago where my wife was working as an organist, and she helped out with a lot of choir stuff with one of the mainline churches. And she was going through a lot of the old music in the library, in the choir library, and there were these old hymns, and there was basically a lot of advice. Now, this is, you know, admittedly one of the mainline, you know, if I can be a little bit blunt, what I would consider kind of a emasculated, pussified, wokeified, weakified, de-Jesusified denomination. And they made a specific trend. Let's not do the warfare ones. We don't want to focus on that anymore. That's an old message. And I think it's the exact wrong message, because realizing that the Christian walk day in and day out is warfare, I think it's so, so crucial. And there are some good songs. You know, there's Battle Belongs and the Battle Belongs to the Lord. There are some musicians and artists that are bringing some of those themes back. And we're not supposed to be overly worried, overly fearful, or paranoid. But boy, if you're in a war, the last thing you want to do is be naive to the fact that there's a battle around you. And act as if everything's okay, and we don't need to focus on that. Because all that's doing is giving the enemy opportunity to take ground.
Galen, I actually just looked up on ChatGPT around churches and when did they stop talking about demonic forces. And in the early church, from the first to the fourth century, demonic forces were a regular part of Christian teaching. Exorcism was practiced and spiritual warfare was taken seriously. The medieval church, 5th century through the 15th century, belief in demons and spiritual warfare remained central. The church often associated illness, heresy, and misfortune with demonic activity. And then even in the Reformation era, 16th century, Protestant reformers like Martin Luther still acknowledged demonic forces, but began shifting the focus to more personal sin, scripture, and salvation by grace. Now, I think that when you look, and I could read on and on and on, you're right. It had a place, and a more prominent place in the past. And I wonder whether that was softened because of the idea of, well, we can't really prove it, right? This is what we believe. This child is possessed. This woman is possessed. This man is possessed. But we can't prove that, so we'll just call it illness.
Right. Well, and I think it was an overall, it's a slow shifting of the mindset. And I think it actually started back in the 1940s. And that's why C.S. Lewis is hinting at it. Even the demonic knows, like, ha, 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 let's get these humans caught up thinking that is the war. And that philosophy and mindset has changed. You know, there's even a denomination, a thrift store. It's called the Salvation Army. It's not called the Salvation Party, you know.
Right.
Like that was the mindset back in the day. You'd never see that. You'd never see that now. But to me, it's just so important to realize that, you know, Paul's instruction in Ephesians chapter 6 is put on the army of God. It's, you know, again, it's not put on the party favors of God. It's put on the armor of God, and it's a very important aspect because the Christian walk is a lot of things, but one thing it is kind of primarily is a war. You know, Jesus is a lion and a lamb. He's a healer. He's a savior, but he's also a warrior. And that is, to me, a very, very important aspect in the Christian life day in and day out that we do tend to neglect. And I think C.S. Lewis knew it, and I think that's our little wink in this chapter 15.
Yeah, Galen, that's so instructive. I think that people who are studying scripture breeze over lines that talk about demons, talk about possession, talk about war, talk about fighting, as if they're just sublines in a story of grace and a story of peace and a story of love. It is a war. If you acknowledge it, and I'll do this for listeners right now. If you acknowledge that your family is at war with the demonic, whether you asked for it or not, it will wake you up to things that will change your world. Like if you start looking at the vulnerability of your children, what are they listening to? What influences have they got? What friends are they hanging out with? And just use common sense. Don't even use the Bible for this. What's the end result going to be? If you then add the Bible into it, you'll be like, okay, now I know how I can actually work through this and work them back into a place of safety. Because God wants you to live a beautiful life. He wants you to live a great life. He wants you to be a family person. He wants you to love. But at the same time, he knows that evil will not stop itself. And our job is to stand up. You know, what greater love could a man have than to lay his life down for someone? With the idea being that you're there to stop not just sin, but evil as well. It's right. All through Jesus' story of his passion that the devil tries to tempt him, that they try to convince him to talk God out of it so he won't go to the cross. Judas is demonically possessed to go and sell him out. All of that stuff is in there, but yet Christians just blow it off as,
right.
Stop blowing it off. Start taking it seriously.
One other thing I'll say, and this will be my final thought, is that, you know, maybe one of the reasons it's de-emphasized is it is true that at the cross, and we just celebrated Easter and the resurrection, Jesus at the cross defeated Satan, and in the resurrection validated that Satan defeating, death killing life is free to all through the gospel. So we do have the victory. And I think some people say that and use that to neglect the fact that we're still in the battle. And I think it's true that we do have the victory. We just have to live out the victory that Christ has already accomplished. But we do that in the context of an ongoing battle in this life. I think it's just the reality and the way it is. And that might, who knows, might be part, maybe people focus too much on the victory side and neglect the fact that, yeah, but the game ain't over yet.
That's a beautiful segue for us to wrap this, going back to what I said at the start about past, present, and future. But yet we want to live in eternity. Jesus lives in eternity, right? God lives in eternity.
Right.
And that war is going on, even though he's won it, because he lives eternally. It didn't happen 2,000 years ago. It happened and is happening and will happen because we're human. We live in time. We live in this battle that we have to continually fight, knowing that with salvation, Jesus already won it for us.
Yeah.
So thanks everyone for listening. Screwtape Letters podcast, season 2, the biblical Easter eggs, this letter 15. And I think, the war rages on and it's time for you to take stock in your own life and, you know, get to a better place. So until next time, we'll see you again on the Screwtape Letters podcast, confronting evil in our time.